And welcome back, Americans. Good afternoon, Stateliners, and hello, listeners. 1330 AM WNTA, all local, all day. Paul Youngblood here with my guest, Dr. Tom Fleming, president of the Rockford Institute, editor-in-chief of the Chronicles magazine. This hour, talking about the Iranian plot, or so-called. Tom, this thing blew up out of nowhere, and we've got, I mean, the indictments are long and troubling for these individuals. This is not going to go away very easily. And it looks like to me, could these guys be scapegoats for a country that most of the Western world absolutely despises right now?
It's a very tough case, because if the government's position is correct, it means that the current government of Iran has conspired to kill a diplomat on U.S. soil and to be reckless about collateral damage or even plot the death of U.S. citizens. Now, if the story as being told, as told to us, is a true story, then it justifies very severe military action. Forget embargoes. If the story is true, we should, if we can prove it, we should be, at the very least, bombing military facilities, taking their nuclear facilities out. Now, the trouble with this is that it may, what if it's not true? For example, at the bare minimum, what if there's a misunderstanding and that they're, because Iran is really divided into factions and power bases, and you know the head of state is at war with the mullahs to some extent. There are factions within the military, within military intelligence. So what if the actual leadership didn't know, but that there were rogue elements? What do we do in that circumstance? Or you know, I will say, just flat out on the record, I have never believed anything the Iranian government has said since the fall of the Shah of Iran. These people are the worst liars. That is, the political class in Iran are the worst liars in the world. Arab, Middle Eastern Arabs, who are not exactly the most honest politicians. I'm talking about politicians, not about people now. But Arabs have always ridiculed the Iranians as being the most corrupt, most dishonest, most unreliable people. Yeah. So we can't believe that. But do we really have to believe Eric Holder, you know, and the Attorney General of the United States, or the Obama administration, or the Bush administration? You know, we went to war in Iraq because the Bush administration told us categorically, flat out, they had 100% rock-solid evidence that Saddam Hussein had stockpiled weapons of mass destruction that he was prepared to use. Well, this was a lie. This wasn't a mistake. Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney, they weren't mistaken. They were lying. Now, once you do that, you justify a war by lies. Can we trust them again? And I hate to be so
this
brutal.
Time you're talking about the U.S.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I certainly will never believe the Iranians unless their information is processed through an American court of law. But I'm not sure I could support a war simply on the say-so of either the current or the previous administration. I think that they have a loss that with me. Both administrations and both parties have lost that kind of credibility.
You know, my question for the listeners at this point is, how do we respond to something like this? Because on one side of the coin, you've got these characters from Iran, or so-called, and being supported by a regime in which we have, in the U.S., no diplomatic relations with, and are a known and stated enemy of the West, and especially Israel, and I want to talk about that, too, because that's a big component here. Yeah. Or on the other side, do we have some sense of judicial obligation to run this thing with disclosure, with evidentiary disclosure, you know, not unlike or even more so than what we're doing with the terrorists at Guantanamo Bay? I mean, a lot of that evidence is just sealed and probably will be forever.
Yeah. I don't think it is healthy for the American people or the American system to have the amount of secrecy which is used today whenever the word terrorism is invoked. And I don't, for example, we now say that we can go to a foreign country and assassinate an American citizen accused of terrorism without proving it in a court of law or, you know, having any kind of hearing. We just have to say, well, the CIA knows what's best. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I've known a number of people in the CIA. I've been interviewed repeatedly on the Balkans, and they will tell me, and they would tell you if they could, that you cannot trust the way their government uses information that's dug up by CIA field agents. We have the State Department, the National Security Advisor's Office, the head of the CIA. These people are not reliable. They are not trustworthy. They have forfeited their trust.
On the same side, though, Tom, every sovereignty is going to have their arm of secret agents, if you will. Can they ever really be trusted by the masses?
I think, you know, for example, everybody complains about J. Edgar Hoover. I think J. Edgar Hoover, although he certainly played rough, Hoover was a patriotic American who really was doing his best to protect the American people in very difficult periods, both from organized crime, from international communism. I think that although I'm not comfortable with a lot of things Hoover did, but at least I know what side he's on. With Eric Holder, I don't know what side he's on. I know that Eric Holder believes that white people in America are responsible for his being whatever, for not being happy, for not being fulfilled. He has let go the new Black Panther Party, released all charges. I'm more concerned about that kind of behavior than an Iranian plot against a Saudi diplomat. So I honestly don't know what side he's on. But, you know, and I don't want somebody to call and say, oh, you're just a Bushy, because I spent 8 years attacking the Bush administration foreign policy and their methods of security, attacking Dick Cheney, attacking Don Rumsfeld. I used to know Don Rumsfeld. Don Rumsfeld was on my board of directors. He's a very smart, competent man.
No, I think it says a lot that you are interested in the possibility of using military engagement against Iran in a very targeted way, because that kind of goes against the grain of the military engagement. We as a country have been reluctant to do anything but massive movements.
Yeah.
And I hesitate to say war because to the victor go the spoils. We don't operate wars like that anymore.
And by the way, you know, embargoes. This is our favorite embargoes or sanctions.
Sanctions.
Sanctions are a different word for embargo. That's all they are. Embargoes are illegal under international law unless you are at war. We have been using embargoes, calling them sanctions, against countries like Yugoslavia, countries like Iraq. The net result has been starvation and massive death of civilian population. Competent authorities estimated that the civilian death between the two wars with Iraq were about 500,000. That was 500,000 women and children and non-combatants who died because we destroyed their infrastructure and then embargoed the importation of medicine. I visited hospitals in the Balkans. They couldn't get antibiotics because of the U.S. embargo, which we call the sanction. So children were dying of routine childhood disease. It is immoral. If you want to fight a war, fight the troops. Don't fight the people.
And from a U.S. standpoint, we're trying to probably remove a regime, but the regime in turn says, look at what the U.S. is doing to you, and probably in a backdoor way, it just reinforces the regime.
Believe me, I was there in the Milosevic years in Yugoslavia. I was covering that a lot, and I knew everybody in the country at that time, virtually. Anybody who was in a position of influence who was resisting Milosevic, nothing made him more popular than the embargo and the U.S. attack.
Now, some of the headlines, one I'm looking at here, U.S. aims to unite the world against Iran. Is this a way for Obama's administration to deflect his inability to lead this country and just grab onto something in which, wow, we can really get America and probably most of the Western world to join forces on this front?
Yeah, I think that's certainly part of it. But you also have to realize that, say, the neoconservative policy establishment, both in Washington and in journalism, they've been trying to get us to go to war with Iran for a long, long time. And so you've got, this is something that will unite the parties. It will around this. And again, I'm if they can prove the charge to decent say a congressional committee consisting of members of both parties, which would include peaceniks like Ron Paul and the Democrat Dennis Kucinich, you know, then I'll say go get them. Really, don't forget embargoes. Go after the Iranian military establishment. I'm not a peacenik. I'm not a dove. And I believe that when Jimmy Carter should have bombed Iran during the hostage crisis, which was the result of their criminal activity toward U.S. citizens right after the overthrow of the Shah and the current government coming to power. This is a criminal government. So I don't want anybody to think I'm soft on Iran.
I don't think anybody disputes the fact that Iran has at least the potential for weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
It's what, T-minus, what, 10 years? I'm not sure what their plan is for having weapons-grade nuclear material ready to go. I can't believe the U.S. will tolerate regardless of whether any ambassador is being threatened around the world.
Yeah, I don't think we will. I don't think we have to. I would like to see. Believe me, right now is not a time in American history when we're ready for a ground engagement in Iran. What we're so bogged down elsewhere, and Iran is a much bigger nut to crack than Iraq and Afghanistan put together. So it's not a joke. I don't think, however, that the Iranian military really amounts to much, and I think that if you put all their technical expertise together, it might equal a branch campus of an Illinois college. So the terrible might of Iran is not something. They're capable of doing great mischief, and most of the mischief they're doing in places right now like Afghanistan and Iraq. And they certainly, the Iranians know that if they could nuke Israel, they would become the most popular state in the Islamic world. And that's got to be one of the things that's on their mind. It's certainly on the mind of Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli government. Having said all that, I do think we should be very, very careful. You remember Davy Crockett's personal motto, "Be sure you are right, then go ahead." Let's not go ahead on something until we're sure we're right. And would I take the word of Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and Hillary Clinton all put together? No, absolutely not. Nor would I take the word of the power ministers in the previous administration. If you put them all in a room together, I wouldn't take their word for it. We need some kind of honest brokers within the American political system.
Tom Fleming is my guest. President of the Rockford Institute, editor-in-chief of the Chronicles magazine. I'm Paul Youngblood, 1330 AM WNTA, all local, all day, talking about this Iranian plot and what its impact on the U.S. Now, for the average citizen, how is this really going to impact people? Is this going to create more jobs? I mean, in a military Pentagon way, it could, I guess, to some degree, based on our history of engagement. Like you say, it would be probably a really terrible thing to put as many boots on the ground as you're suggesting here. And would we go in a targeted drone-style fashion and start taking out the military installations? It would be far cheaper and probably way more effective, too.
One of the trouble with drones is, you know, drones can't distinguish between a woman holding a baby and a terrorist holding a bomb. And we've reaped a lot of unpopularity in not just in Afghanistan, but in Pakistan and elsewhere from drone attacks that look like they are wanton and reckless and with a complete disregard for human life. If you're going to fight a war, I'm in favor of fighting it man to man, not man to girl. You know, not man to baby. But I do think that Iran has plenty of known military and industrial centers that could be bombed. Now, I'm sure they've done their best to harden them. And I'm sure they've done their best to protect their nuclear assets. And Saddam did a better job, apparently, than anybody thought at the time in protecting a lot of his military assets. But, you know, if we cost them, you know, we start costing them tens of billions of dollars worth of military hardware, there's going to be, and in military casualties, there's going to be a demoralization of the country and a repudiation of the regime. A mere embargo, a mere set of tougher sanctions will probably just strengthen the regime.
Saudis, according to one article here, say Iran must pay the price for the alleged plot of U.S. as U.S. resists retaliation. Well, pay the price. I mean,
let Saudi Arabia declare war then. I mean, that's fine. Let them exact the price. The one of the troubles with this, you know, the Saudis, of course, fund their own form of Islamic propaganda and terrorism. They've got Islamic centers that they fund all over the United States, which are preaching Islamic extremism, hatred of the West, hatred of Christianity. I mean, the idea that the Saudis are our buddies. Why are we fighting in Iraq when it was Saudis who blew up the planes on 9/11? I mean, Saudi Arabia, I don't care what they say, they are not our friend. And they never have been and never will be our friend.
Strange bedfellows, say the least.
Yeah.
1330 AM, WNTA, all local, all day. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the fact that is this a diversion that Obama's administration is looking for, especially at this key candidate running for office time. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.